Well, good morning and welcome to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is the 195.1 FM. And, of course, almost for 50 years now, 1080 on your AM dial from Northfield, Minnesota. We are KYMN, a friend you can count on. Well, that sunshine's right in front of us this morning. I guess spring is coming up pretty quick, and I'm sick of winter. How about you? Speaking about sick of winter, the Northfield defeated Jesse James Day's committee representatives, the ambassadors, went up to Eden Prairie on Saturday, and they took the plunge. It's on the defeated Jesse James Day's website, but you'll see three young scholarship winners, all dressed in tutus, holding plungers, jump into the lake there in Eden Prairie. And I guess the water temperature was like 34 degrees. And it's crazy the way they do that is that they give you, when you arrive, they give you a time that you'll be jumping because they had like 600 jumpers. And they give you a wristband. And in this case, the color was purple. And they say you will be jumping at 12:45. They started at noon. They had rescue squad people in the lake, four of them, so that when the people jumped in, they would have assistance getting out. It's quite a shock to the system, but they had politicians and athletes and people and representatives from all over the area, and this was a special function for the Special Olympics statewide, the Minnesota Special Olympics, and I think they raised over $1 million. I know our ambassadors did the best they could and ended up winning a top prize in that category. But a lot of fun and a lot of good representation for the defeated Jesse James Day Committee and also for the city of Northfield, Minnesota. So that's what they did on Saturday. I just went to the tax accountant and talked taxes for a while. Pretty unpleasant thing to do, but you got to do it every single year. Get it done before April 15th. Or if you've got a whole big bunch of expenses, ask for an extension, and then you might get a return on that. So, what should we do this morning? Well, I've got a guest in studio that I'm going to be speaking with that I met at bowling last Monday. I think it's the first time I ever met this gentleman, and his name is Hans Naumann. Yeah. Hi. You want to work that mic real close there? You can bring it to you. Good morning, Hans.
Good morning, Wayne.
Thank you for coming in.
You bet. It's my pleasure.
I see you got all dressed up for the interview. You know, some people actually do. You know, they'll put on a suit and tie and all that. And it's kind of, you know, funny because nobody can see us.
Right. You're not going to get that from me.
Yeah. I'm sitting here in a tank top. Not really. So, Hans, I met you at bowling last Monday. Have I met you before?
I believe we have, just in passing at bowling over the last couple of years.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you pretty good?
No, not at all.
How bad are you?
I'm real bad.
What's your handicap?
I think it's, last I checked, around 21.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Oh, it's a lot better than, mine's a lot better. I get more pins. But
sure.
Hans, in that businessman's bowling league, there's a lot of interesting individuals, some young like yourself and others my age, retired and have something to do. And quite frankly, I like to interview some of the people I meet in that league because they all seem to be social and interesting. And as I joined your table after bowling last 2 weeks ago, it was who was sitting at the table with us? Was John Snodgrass at
John? Yep, John was there. And then I don't remember if Tracy was with us or not. Tracy Snyder, he may not have been.
Okay,
maybe one of the Hazy boys.
Yeah, we were sitting there talking, and I was I found you quite interesting, and I was introduced to you by name. And the name sounded familiar. I've heard that name before. But anyhow, these guys were telling me what an interesting man you are. They were telling me that, and you should have them on your radio show. So here we are.
Yeah, they must have been playing a prank on you.
Well, we'll find out here in the next 1 hour and 52 minutes, all right?
All right.
First of all, you graduated from high school what year?
1995.
And what high school was that?
I went to Martin Luther Preparatory School in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin.
Is that a private school?
It is.
I went to a private school.
You did? Well, yeah. Okay.
So you and I probably can share some antics.
We probably could. Okay. Yeah, something we might want to keep off the air, though.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I, you know, at my age, I don't care anymore. You know, I don't have to go out looking for a job or impress anybody. I can just say, here's what I did when I was a stupid freshman and sophomore at a private military school.
Okay.
Yours wasn't military.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't.
For those that don't know where Prairie du Chien is, I know that 3M, I believe, has a big production center there in Prairie du Chien along the river on the Wisconsin side.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. It's Prairie du Chien, for those that don't know, it's right along the river, about an hour south of La Crosse, right along the river. So it's kind of a neat little river town. There's some history there.
All right. Where were you born?
I was born in St. Cloud.
St. Cloud, that is a place that when I was thinking of going to college, St. Cloud was a teacher's college. That's what you went there for, is to become a teacher. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Okay. And, of course, when you think St. Cloud, you can't help but think about St. John's, and you can't help but think about St. Benedict's.
Right.
Up there in that area, right?
Yep, they are.
Okay. And so where did you live in the St. Cloud area?
So I grew up in Sauk Rapids until I was about six, and then we had moved to South Dakota, out to Mobridge, South Dakota.
Mobridge. I've heard of Mobridge.
You have? So you're the other guy?
Yeah. That's funny. Don't you go through Mobridge, or maybe not? Well, I know. They had a radio station in Mobridge.
Yeah.
And I was a guest speaker there on occasions for the State Broadcasters Association. Okay. And maybe I was in Mobridge at one time.
Yeah, yeah, that could be.
So here's the deal. You were, let's see if I get this right now. Okay, you were born in Sauk Rapids, did you say?
Correct.
Okay, and Sauk Rapids is famous for, you know?
No, I absolutely don't.
Okay, neither do I right now. There's something there. Okay, and then you moved to?
Mobridge.
Mobridge, okay. Yeah. And you were about 5-6 years old?
About six, yeah.
Okay. Before we go any further, what I'd like to do is, Hans Naumann, is first of all, let people know what you do, and then we'll go back to Mobridge and bring you up to what you're doing now. What do you do for a living? I heard it was pretty interesting.
Well, right now I'm a project manager for Lifetime Construction. And we are the general contractor for Lifetime Fitness. So we build the Lifetime Fitness clubs all over the states.
Yeah, I think we talked briefly about that a couple of weeks ago. And is there a Lifetime Fitness in this immediate area?
The closest is going to be Lakeville.
All right. Yep. Oh, you're working on that project now?
No. That's an existing club. I'm working on a club out in Seattle, in Bellevue, Washington.
Bellevue. Heard of that, too. Is that up by Seattle north?
Yeah, it's about 10 minutes from Seattle.
And Everett would be the next big town?
I believe so.
Okay. Well, you just work there, you don't?
Yeah, okay. I don't travel around there too much.
Lifetime Fitness. Mm-hmm. Okay. Are you into the equipment or just the construction part of it?
Just the construction part of it.
Okay. Where's that out of? I mean, who's the big man, big boss?
Well, the big boss is Brahm McCrady, and our corporate office is up in Chanhassen.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I get to experience nature in its purest form every morning for an hour and every evening for an hour.
Oh, boy.
As I commute.
Yeah, that's got to be miserable.
I don't mind it. I like the drive.
When's your next trip to Seattle or wherever you're going?
Well, I just got home last night, so I will probably be heading back out Sunday afternoon, somewhere around there.
It's kind of a stressful life, isn't it, to have to be, you know, all over the country all the time?
It's, Well, right now we're about a month out from opening the club, hopefully,
okay.
if all goes well. So the last month, 6 weeks leading up to the grand opening, gets pretty hectic, and there's a little stress, but nothing too serious.
Did I do a mini interview with you at the table a couple of Mondays ago? Where are you the guy that does the above ground tennis courts or something like that?
Well, I don't know if we talked about that, but each one of our clubs is unique to the area. They have prototypical buildings, but not every prototype makes it into each club. So, like, for instance, the club in Bellevue that's in a mall. It's a pretty high-scale mall, and so that's a lot smaller. So we don't have, and there's parking ramps, so we can't put in the swimming pools. We can't add on to the structure, so there's no tennis barns or tennis courts.
Okay. Are most of the clubs standalone or associated with another building?
Most of them are standalone, but they're starting to get into the tenant spaces as well. So we have a real estate and development division that takes care of that, makes the decisions on where we're going to build and why.
And does a company then buy the land and build the building and then lease it out to a franchisee?
That I don't know the specifics on that. So I've only been with the company since mid-November.
Oh.
So 4 months now.
Okay.
And so I'm not sure how that works, but if it's standalone, then it's owned by Lifetime Fitness, and then if it's in a tenant space, yeah, then right. Obviously we're leasing the space.
Well, one thing I've learned late in life is that when it comes to franchises, whether it be a food franchise or health and fitness or whatever, that the corporations buy the land, build the building, and then lease back. And if a franchise does not succeed in that particular community or whatever, then the corporation owns the building and the land, and they can do what they want to with that. But more importantly, the franchisee has to lease the building from the corporation. And that's where the money is being made.
Right, and I think we model it in that respect. But Lifetime Fitness owns all of their buildings. But they run each individual site as though it were a separate franchise.
Okay. A lot of competition in that business, isn't there?
There is. There is. It's you don't have an awful lot of fitness clubs that are this size. You might run into maybe a LA Fitness or something similar to that. But in this area, there's not a whole lot of competition. But nationwide, it's kind of the trend that we're starting to see.
Well, I can think of, by the way, folks, it's 9:15 on the Wayne Eddy Affair. Hans Laumann is my guest this morning. He's the class of 95 from Mobridge. Did I get that right?
Well, from Prairie du Chien.
Prairie du Chien. Okay, yeah. I got to get you there.
Yeah.
All right, so here's the deal here in Northfield. If you want to get involved in physical fitness, on the commercial level, you have, I think it's Snap. I'm not sure what the name is.
I think there's Anytime Fitness here.
Yeah, that's one on 7th and Division. Then there's like a Snap. That's along the Highway 3 corridor on the east side.
Yep.
On the north end of one of those buildings. And then you have the Senior Center, which has a real nice facility. And then you have Carlton and St. Olaf that some people that they can use to keep in shape, etc. So
absolutely.
We're fortunate in Northfield that we have a lot of places that can be of assistance in trying to keep your body in good shape.
Absolutely.
Every morning I listen to the obituaries on Kim, and then I listen to Jeff and Terry give birthdays. And they talk about this person is 72. Oh, no, they died 5 years ago. This guy is 79. Oh, he died 3 years ago. and you keep going, oh boy, it's getting there. So enjoy life is what I'm getting at while you can.
All right.
And if you really want to enjoy life, there's a place in town called the Quarterback Club. And the Quarterback Club has the greatest chicken that's roasted, you know. And now they have baby back barbecued ribs with mountains of madness just oozing all over them in the form of a special sauce. They are so good. And, of course, they're known for their flame-broiled burgers, only place in town that does that. But more importantly, you get great service, low prices, and it's locally owned, locally managed. And many a high school student has gotten their first job at the Quarterback Club, like Dale Finger when he was in high school, and then managed the place and ended up buying it from the late Larry Benjamin. So support local. Enjoy breakfast this morning till 10 a.m. at the QB, the Quarterback Club on Highway 3 and 3rd Street in Northfield, Minnesota. Hans Naumann is my guest this morning on KYMN Radio, and he's project manager for
Lifetime Fitness.
Lifetime Fitness. You know that LA Fitness? You see them all over the place, and they look like they're huge. And number one, I'm kind of an anti-California guy. And you got this great big town called Los Angeles that comes into little towns like St. Paul and Minneapolis and, you know, put up their L.A. And evidently it's very successful. But I always wondered.
I think they do pretty well.
Yeah. Yep. Lifetime Fitness, owned and operated locally in the state of Minnesota. Did you say Minnetonka?
Chanhassen.
Chanhassen.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So, that your project manager, and right now you're working on one up in Bellevue, Washington.
Correct. That's our first club in the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, that's got to be exciting.
It is. It is. It's a different area to build in. They have different codes and different requirements, but we're learning as we go.
Well, you know, you said you're with the company for only 4 months.
Correct.
And they're sending you out to run the show out in Seattle. That's a... pretty confident of your abilities.
I guess I interviewed really well.
Well, you must have experience.
I have a little bit. I have. So I owned my own company for about 17 years. That was Deutsche Contracting, or DCI went by. And
did you say Deutsche?
Deutsche, correct.
How do you spell it?
D-E-U-T-S-C-H-E.
What does that mean?
That means German, like German descent.
Yeah, I got Deutsches.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Wouldn't that alienate the French and the Irish and the...
Well, I guess you could look at it that way, but my my family heritage is pretty thick German, so we're 100% German.
Oh, okay. Yeah. From up there?
Well, I believe we're down on the Bavarian side. Yeah, so okay. Down towards, I guess, Austria.
So, okay, I've traveled a little bit and I've been in Germany, but I don't think I was in that area there.
Okay.
Deutsches Modeling, Remodeling, what did you call your company?
Deutsche Contracting.
Contracting, yep. Okay. You can tell my short memory is pretty bad.
That's all right.
But thank God you're young and can rescue me. Yeah. Once again, our guest this morning is Hans Naumann. So they hired you to go out and do that. So what? This is going to be a good question. When you're out there, you were doing building in a center, right?
Correct.
Okay. So they just bought lease some space, and then you have to go in there and follow the corporate configuration. I mean, it's all done and ready to go.
Well, that's the theory right off the bat. But by the time we get finished and we look at the budget, we realize that's not exactly how it went, so it doesn't always go as planned, but we took over a space that was actually a different fitness club beforehand, and I guess they just decided to close the doors, and they were done with that area, so we swooped right in and took up the space and actually procured a little extra space from one of the other shops, one of the adjacent shops, and for all intents and purposes, pretty much gutted the entire property out and tried to bring in the Lifetime aesthetics and the Lifetime model as close as we could.
So does that mean then that they say you're project manager and here's the blueprints or whatever you call them and here's what we want you to do? Are they going to ship you counter space and other saunas or whatever, and then you would just put them like in the footprint? Or do you have to figure out how everything is going to work and tell them what you got?
So we have our own design and architecture division, and they take the space and try to fit as many amenities or accoutrements into it as we can. So we'll have steam rooms in the saunas, which is pretty typical of a Lifetime club. We won't have any. There will be no pools, no hot tubs. So this is it's mainly workouts, and then their model is trying to focus on this Lifetime being more of a destination, of a fitness club. Now, we don't like to call it a gym. So we also have treatment rooms for massage and spas. Other clubs will have chiropractors. So we also have a cafe, so you can get a bite to eat there. And then we're also starting to build bars where you can actually have a cocktail or a beer after your workout, which some people don't quite understand that.
Yeah.
But it seems to fit. It fits the MO of Lifetime, where it's a destination. So you don't have to go there just to be a gym rat. You can go there to socialize and you can take care of business or whatnot. It's almost like going to the golf course.
How far along are you with the Bellevue store, I guess you call it?
Well, we started tearing it apart back in August, September time frame, and we're probably about 5 weeks out from our grand opening.
And did you have a done date given to you as the guy that runs the show, that you say, we want to open on this date, and you have to meet the time?
I was given a completion date, and that was it was pushed back a couple times now. So
now, does a person in your position have a say in that? I mean, I can see the coordinator of buildings, blah, blah, whatever the title is. I can see them giving you this plan, and they say, okay, we want you to be ready to open on March 1st. That's it. And then do you get to look at that and say, well, I've been on the site, and there's no way we're going to get this done by March 1st. And then they say, well, okay, make it March 15th. Is that how it works?
Yeah, it's a collective decision. You know, we're all the parties involved kind of sit down, and we meet weekly. We have a weekly meeting that just a progress update, and then right off the bat, we try and put a target date on it. And we try and keep them tight just to challenge the crews, but we also are realistic about it too. So it's originally we were going to open mid-March, and then we made some major design changes to improve the site, so now we're looking about mid-April.
And you, as a former contractor and owner, you know that when you accept what you're going to build, and then the buyers come in and say, wait a minute, I want a closet here and I want a bathroom over here instead, that throws the budget out of whack, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. So keeping the construction schedule on track usually does not keep the budget on track. So the harder you push your subcontractors or your employees, and usually you end up paying out a little bit in the end.
Do they have, as I mentioned earlier, do they ship to you, or do you have to build the countertops and various furnitures that you have?
So we get all of our components from various areas throughout the states. We have our own millwork shop, so any casework, cabinets, that's all
that's
fabricated.
That's pretty big time.
Well, that helps, and actually they're building a new shop. But right now they're just down the road in Chanhassen, so we get a semi-truck a week just packed full of millwork cabinets. And then our countertops we get out of Texas, and those are all prefabricated, and hopefully all goes well and they fit by the time they show up.
You know, last week, it was International Women's Day. I don't know if you knew that.
I did.
Okay. And several McDonald's in the country took the arches for McDonald's and turned them upside down for women, W for women.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But the point I'm getting at is that McDonald's has their arches. Is there anything significant that Anytime Fitness, or excuse me, Lifetime Fitness has when you walk in? That's that. That's always right there. Or?
For women,
men, women. You're just your design.
I guess I'm not too familiar with anything that would be specific that way. If you're looking for logos, it's basically the logo is Lifetime.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's I think it has a little brand recognition. You know, people see that sign. Obviously, it spells itself out, but people understand what they're seeing.
928 on 1080 Radio, KYMN out of Northfield, 95.1, The One FM. And our guest this morning on Kim, Hans Naumann. Hans, when you are project manager and you are sent out to Bellevue, Washington, you go out there by yourself, or do you bring a crew, or do you have to hire on site?
I'm there. I go out there by myself as the corporate representative, but we also have a site superintendent, an assistant superintendent, and then a field engineer that work there full time. On larger projects, you might have a handful more. So we'll be working on a very large project up in Edina. I believe that's going to start this summer. That'll have about four or five superintendents, and then the requisite amount of assistant superintendents and engineers. So it's we do have a full-time presence out there.
So what about hiring the carpenters and carpet layers and all the electricians and the plumbers and all of that? How does that work?
Well, we try. My theory is I like to build local relationships because, like I stated earlier, this is our first club in the Northwest, but we already have a couple sites that we're looking at in the near future in that same area. So we like to have local representation with our subcontractors, and we've built some pretty strong relationships already. But other specialty items like our sauna installers come out of Texas. So it's just one of the other speed bumps that we've been hitting out there, one of our friction points, is that Seattle and the Bellevue area is growing so fast that there's not a whole lot of unemployed subcontractors out there. They're all pretty booked up for a couple of years. So we were fortunate enough to find some pretty good companies that are doing excellent work for us, and they're not going to go anywhere, so hopefully we can tap them the next go-around, too.
Is that your job to do that, or does the corporate do it?
Well, somewhat. It's somewhat mine. We just started a new position, actually, and we have a young man, he flies all over the states, and about 6 months prior to starting a project, and that's his job, is industrial relations, to get the buzz going around that, hey, Lifetime's coming into town, and he puts together the bidder list so we can have local subcontractors. Yep. But like I said, there's some that we can do local, and there's others that they're pretty specialized. We bring them in because they know our clubs, they know our expectations, mm-hmm. and it's just a subcontractor that makes your life a lot easier.
So the front man may go to the Chamber of Commerce or the local unions, if they have unions, and set up a positive image of Lifetime Fitness so that the rest of it can just happen. When you say there's a superintendent and an assistant superintendent and an engineer, mm-hmm. and you are the project manager, who's the boss?
Boy, I don't know. the guy that signs our paychecks, I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're all out there, I mean.
So the way my team, the way we look at it is, the superintendent and the project manager, we're on level playing field, where he runs the site and I run the administration of it. So, and then we give each other feedback. You know, the schedule's rolling along as planned, and I look at the budget and say, well, we need to scale back on some of our expenditures.
So you can be the bad guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how do you go out there and stay in motels? I mean, like when I talked to you a couple of weeks ago at bowling, mm-hmm. I'm assuming that you're a regular bowler and you bowl on Monday afternoons and you didn't know when you're going to be in town, and we found this date available for both you and me.
Yes.
So how do you plan a week or a month? How does that work when you're I assume you're living here in Minnesota?
I am.
Okay.
Yep, right here in Northfield.
Oh, there you go. So how do you figure out when you got to get on a plane, which has got to be a miserable have to do for you?
Well, they give me the levity to decide when I should and shouldn't be out there. And this week was a pretty crucial week. We're starting to look at, you know, do we need to add additional labor forces? Do we need to put people on overtime? So we had a subcontractor lunch on Thursday that went real well. And basically, we bring in all the subcontractors and give them a little. It's like a little pep rally. Let them know we're going to be leaning on them for additional resources if need be.
Now, when you say subcontractors, mm-hmm. I'm not in the business, obviously.
Okay.
So I can think of an electrician. I can think of a plumber.
Mm-hmm. So electricians, plumbers, your HVAC, your mechanical guys for your heating and air conditioning.
Oh.
But then we also have low voltage cabling companies for all of our, and then a controls company that we control all of our climates remotely from Chanhassen.
So, really?
Yeah, it's pretty neat. We pay a pretty penny for that luxury, but we can control the site right there from behind a desk. So thank goodness I don't need to do that.
Yeah, I wonder why they do that, because they forgot to turn the air conditioner on or off, or the heat on or off, or
I don't ask those questions.
Okay. Well, we'll get somebody from we'll get the president to come down. We'll chit chat about that.
Yeah, I'll make sure I mention that to him.
Okay. Right. I'm going to take a brief break, and then we'll be back, and then we'll find out what that traveling is like for somebody that has to do it all the time, and somebody that, like me, won't do it unless it's absolutely necessary. I just don't enjoy airports.
Yeah. Join Mark Patrick Hypnosis, and in just 2 hours, lose weight or stop smoking for only $49.99 guaranteed. That's this Tuesday, the 13th, at the Archer House River Inn in Northfield. Weight loss seminar starts at 5:30 and stop smoking at 8 o'clock. Don't miss it at the Archer House River Inn, 212 Division Street, Tuesday the 13th.
I love Grandpa's new home. There's so much to do.
That's right. Millstream Commons helps improve the lives of seniors through all kinds of fun activities. Personalized care from a dedicated and well-trained staff, amazing creative meals prepared fresh every day and served in a social setting, live-to-be-healthy fitness classes, private apartments with all the amenities of home, and a place to continue your relationships with family and loved ones. Millstream Commons, your vibrant life continues here.
Well, you got to put earphones on so you can hear the music. Should I turn this one down?
As I walk through the valley of the shadow.
Yeah, you might want to.
Okay. You know what it was?
That's Gangster's Paradise, I think. That's Coolio, right?
That's right.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's good that you know it, because, all right. We're back live and in color on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio. My guest this morning on Kim is Hans Naumann, and he is a project manager for Lifetime Fitness. Right now, the site that he works on is in Belmont, Washington.
Bellevue.
Yep.
Okay.
And I asked just before the break about flying out there. How often do you have to fly out? Where do you stay? And what is the schedule that you're on?
Well, typically I'm out there every other week, and I'll go for 2 or 3 days. Just to, you know, check in and see how the on-site crew is doing. leading up to the grand opening, I'll probably spend about 70% of my time out there. But we stay at a Marriott, a Residence Inn. We have real good rates with them that we negotiated. So I have quite a collection of the little hotel soaps.
Yeah, so, yeah. I used to do that. I have a drawer full of them.
Yeah, I learned that from my dad. So
you've heard of Tires Plus, haven't you?
I have.
Okay, well, a couple of guys that were good friends of mine started that company, and Skip, okay, George is his real name, was a traveling salesman, and he would. You're probably too young to remember. They used to have plastic, big plastic things that they hung the keys on. It was about maybe 3 inches, 4 inches long and narrow. Okay. And it had the room number on that thing.
Oh, sure.
It stamped the room number, so you'd look at it, and it'd be on the keychain, and you'd use your key to get in. Well, he had this big, huge fishbowl. I mean, big, like a big martini glass or whatever, yeah. Huge. And that thing was chock full of keys from motels that he had stayed at.
Sure.
And, you know, you could go through them and look at them, and just like you do with your cards, yeah. You can look at them. And,
well, I guess the guy could keep their key cards now. It's all key cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's it like at the airport now? Do they let you run first class? Do they let you go to the clubs?
No. No. We sit in the economy seats, so sometimes way in the back or middle seat, but it... if I plan my trips out early enough, I can select my seats, so it's not too bad. The last trip out there, I flew out on Monday, and that was when we got that last snowstorm, and our flight was delayed because there was a fuel leak somewhere in the plane. Like, oh, good grief! Here comes the next snowstorm, and we were delayed about four and a half hours, and we made it out just ahead of the storm. Boy, it was a bumpy ride.
So did you wait in the
terminal? Yeah, we just stuck it out there in the terminal. Okay. Had a couple extra cups of coffee.
And they tell you, you know, they had a fuel leak, but we think we fixed it.
Yeah, that's exactly how it goes. Yeah. And you just,
might get all the way to Washington, or we may have to land midway.
Right, right. Actually, when we boarded the plane, they said that they had fixed the fuel leak, and well, then when we boarded the plane, they told us that there was a fuel pump that went out. So then we had to sit on the plane while they replaced the fuel pump.
Jeez.
Yeah. Talk about anxiety.
And
yeah.
They couldn't have the air conditioning on, I would imagine. Well, maybe the battery run. I don't know.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, Minnesota, it wasn't too terribly warm on there.
Okay.
So that was good.
How about the wait in line? Have you mastered that? Have you said, oh, now I know exactly how to do this, so you don't have to...
Well, I found out yesterday, don't leave Seattle on Sunday. The Seattle airport's pretty busy on Sundays. I kind of know the sweet spots and the good times to get there, just so I can get through security in a good time. But I do that TSA pre-check, so that helps out quite a bit.
What is that now?
Well, you can kind of bypass some of the security. You go through the same security screening, but it's shorter lines. So a lot of times that's where the flight crew is going to go through.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and now they have something called Clear. I haven't looked into that. And it's all pretty soon. It's just not going to be any different than going through the standard security lines.
I went out on one last time. I went out with a bunch of guys you know. We headed west. And they had me sit down after I went through the beep, beep, beep thing.
Yeah.
Which, of course, it did. Mm-hmm. And so they sat me down, and I wore a prosthesis. Mm-hmm. And they made me take it off and everything underneath from the skin to the actual construction part of the prosthesis. And then they wiped it with a cloth to see if there's any residue, gunpowder or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they looked at it, and they took the shoe and opened it up and looked and, you know, it, that's why I had it. I'm glad I checked in an hour early or whatever. Now it's 2 hours, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyhow, I don't envy you in that regard. When do you have to go back?
I think I'll head out on Sunday.
Okay, so you got...
Sometime around there.
Then you go up to Lifetime Fitness offices during the week?
Yep. Typically I would, but I had, you know, I had this important interview to get to this morning, so I'm going to work remotely the rest of the day.
Okay. You can do that?
I can.
On a computer?
I can. Yeah. I try not to do it too much, but I can. Everything, we have so many gadgets and computers, I can't even keep them all straight, but enough where I can get onto my email and make a couple phone calls if need be.
Okay. Now, do they know where you're at right now?
They do.
You told them?
Well, I didn't tell them that I was interviewing with Wayne Eddy, I told them that I'd be working from home today.
Some
of them know that I've on the radio this morning.
Okay, I'm just wondering. I've talked to some people that they can't join me on the air because it's against company policies.
Okay,
and one of them was a pretty successful woman who has a very interesting life, and she would love to be on my show, but her investment brokerage firm or whatever, some big company in investments, won't allow her to do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm going, well, it isn't about the company, it's about the person. Except this morning I'm talking about, because that's an interesting thing you got going, this Lifetime Fitness.
Right.
So then when you're done with that project, hopefully by April, you'll go on to the next project, and most of them are going to be out on the West Coast because of you're trying to inundate the West Coast.
Well, we have quite a few clubs all over the state. It's everywhere. So we're out in New York right now, Massachusetts, quite a few down in Texas, South Carolina.
It must be fun to work for a company that's growing.
It is. It's very promising. Our goal is to open a new club every month this year. So at least a dozen, might be a couple more.
Is it over the counter business? I mean, can I buy stock in it?
I'm not sure of.
Okay.
I guess I haven't looked into it.
Or if it's privately held, you can't, but...
Yeah, I believe it's privately held.
Okay. If it's on the stock market, we're given inside information.
Okay, well, we better not talk about that then. our pipeline is full for the next 4 years. The company is doing real well.
Well, speaking about doing real well, there was a lady that did very well when she was writing a book. And today's... people today are trying to make their marriages work over longer lives than ever before, but staying married just isn't easy. The Rough Patch, Marriage and the Arts of Living Together, explores the pushes and the pulls of marriage. And with over 30 years of experience in mental health issues, author Daphne DeMarif talks with Terry Knight about some tough subjects, including money issues, addictions, sex lives, children, and aging. She shares numerous real-life stories. That's on today's 15 with the Author at 11 o'clock this very morning with Kay Wyman's own Terry Knight. Daphne DeMarif. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Coming up at 11 o'clock, it is 9:45 on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Hans Naumann. Well, Hans, things looking good for you. You've been on the job for 4 months. They obviously had a lot of confidence and trust in you and your knowledge. And do you ever get the hammer and go to work?
You know, yourself, I don't, and I kind of miss that. But I'm in the middle of remodeling my own house, so I guess I get my fix then on the weekends. So
yeah, I don't know. Do you know Dick Seuss? You do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
And he can fix anything.
Yeah.
He's really good. And I really, really envy him. But I don't fix anything.
Okay.
At all. It's just that, I looked underneath our sink in the baseboard or whatever you call it, that you put the soap and the garbage bags on, the bottom of it, is warped.
Okay.
Because I'm sure water has dripped down there over the years. And I'm going, I'll bet you that would be a pretty easy fix for people that are handy. And for me, it probably, number one, I'd have to get down on my knees.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't. No.
Yeah.
Number two, I'd have to pull everything out of there and set it aside.
Right.
The buckets and the Well, everything. You know, it can get like underneath the sink.
Oh, yeah, it collects a lot of stuff.
So then, now I got this, now I've got the bottom and I see it's warped. And my first thought is, how do I get this out? Then, if I do get it out, do I have to go to Menards and can you ask them to cut a piece of lumber to size? I don't know.
I have no idea. So.
You know, Lamperts, yeah. I don't know. So anyhow, now I got the piece done somehow, some way. Now I go back and I try to get it in. And does you screw it in? Do you staple it in? Do you nail it in? I have no idea. But I finally figured it out. But I forgot to make the little hole for a pipe or something.
So, yeah.
Dick, he would come over and he would get it done in 20 minutes.
Sure.
It's just some, I admire guys like yourself that are able to do that. Do you ever not like doing it?
No, actually, I really enjoy what I do. I really do. So it's, I don't know, sometimes it's a challenge, and, you know, who doesn't like a good challenge, right? Yeah.
Do you step back and look at your work and say, I got that right, or that looks nice?
Usually I step back and look at it, and I think, boy, I could have done that differently.
Really? Do you paint?
Do I? I do. I do.
You like it?
No, not at all.
I admire painters.
Yeah.
That I've done it one summer and not never again.
It takes a special person.
Yeah, it does. And what do you call that when you put up the stuff that goes on the wall that you then paint?
Oh, when you're mudding? Or the wallpaper?
The taping.
Oh, the taping.
Yeah. Those guys. That's another hard job.
Yeah, that's a special talent as well. Yeah.
So this is what I like about the show. I get to talk to people that do these various things. So now let's do a chronological life of Hans Naumann and how he ended up in Northfield, Minnesota. Let's see if I got this right. You lived in Sauk Rapids, and you moved to Mobridge.
Yep.
And then... How old were you when you were living in Mobridge?
We moved there in 83, so I would have been 6.
Okay.
Yep.
And how long did you live there?
Well, my family stayed there my parents just finally retired and moved down towards New Ulm here about 2 years ago. So they'd been out there quite a while, but I went to prep school for high school, so I really left Mobridge around the age of 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
So... Going to this private school in Prairie du Chien, how did you happen to have that happen?
So my dad is a pastor for the Wisconsin Synod, Wisconsin Lutheran Synod. Now he's retired, but he still picks up a couple Sundays here and there. So I think they had the goal that all their kids would at least go through prep school and experience, you know, at a young age, what it'd take to be a pastor or a teacher. And so we all went to prep school. So I was actually part of the last class to graduate from Prairie du Chien. They had closed that school and amalgamated with another Lutheran high school out in Watertown, Wisconsin.
So how many siblings do you have?
I have an older brother and a younger brother.
And what's the older brother's name?
My older brother is Tim.
Tim,
yep.
How much older?
He's 2 years older than I am.
Okay.
And he still lives out in Mobridge, or he moved back there, and he's into construction out there, too, doing real well. So a lot of successful farmers and ranchers out there.
And who's your younger brother?
My younger brother is Andrew. He's about 5 years younger than I am, and he actually is a pastor with the Synod, and he is the head of recruitment for one of our Lutheran high schools out in Saginaw, Michigan.
I like that name, don't you? Saginaw.
Saginaw, yeah.
So you're growing up in Mobridge, and you're the sons of a pastor, and your mom is a teacher?
Yep, she was a teacher.
Okay, so a lot of respect for mom and dad.
Absolutely.
And if you goofed off, people would know, and then they would tell mom or dad, and you'd have to...
Get the
wrath of fury.
Absolutely, couldn't get away from it. You know, they always say pastors' kids are the worst.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, I know. Yeah. And particularly poor daughters, you know.
Yeah.
And But you, of course, three brothers. I would imagine, did you have any, did you go to public school until you went to Prairie du Chien?
No, we went to a parochial grade school.
Lutheran.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So our church had its own grade school, pretty similar to St. Sure. Dominic's, I guess.
And did you wear uniforms?
No, we didn't.
Okay.
We didn't.
So as you were growing up there, did your brother Tim kind of set the pace? He was a big man on campus or a shy library guy? Or
no, I don't know. I think we just had normal childhood. So yeah.
But, I mean, did you look up to Tim?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't
absolutely.
He cool?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
In the eighth grade, and you're just a little sixth grader.
Yeah, right.
But then you could look down your nose at Andrew.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course, you were built-in babysitters, too.
Well, yeah, no, Mom and Dad saw through that after the first attempt, and we outsourced that responsibility.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So where did Tim go to school? Did he go to Prairie du Chien?
He did.
Okay.
He did.
So now he's setting the pace for the Nauman family out there.
Yep.
And so now, did you want to go to that?
I put up a bit of a fight in eighth grade, and we had a lot of heart-to-heart talks with the parents, and I ended up going anyway.
Being away from home? Was it the religion? Was it the strict discipline? Was it all three of those things? Did you have a girlfriend you didn't want to leave, or a bunch of buddies?
No. Well, in eighth grade, yeah, you have your friends, and all your friends are going to stay in town and go to the public high school. So of course you want to do the same.
Yeah.
And they had different ideas and thoughts for me, so I lost that battle.
Okay.
But, you know, I was 14.
So. Now, was that a four-year school, Prairie du Chien?
Yes.
And did you complete it?
Yes.
You did?
Yep, I did.
Well, good for you.
I know accidents do happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Did you have a ranking? I went to a military academy, mm-hmm. so we had rankings.
Sure.
And a class colonel, you know, a senior was the man, you know.
Okay.
How about there? Did they have any kind of ranking at all? I mean, like...
No, it's like a normal high school.
Okay.
Only it had a religious backing to it. So, and you know, it's preparation to be a pastor, a teacher, a call worker in our synod.
Okay.
So,
Did you have where did you stay? Did you have dorms?
Yeah, we stayed in the dorms, and that those were pretty lively times on the weekends, or well during the week too. And we would. We'd press our luck on a daily basis and see how far we could get with certain things. So I spent a little bit of time in the dorms, a little extra time.
Detention.
You could call it that, yeah.
Okay. Now, did they have two to a room or
four? Yeah, it was two.
Okay, so you had a roommate.
Yes.
Or more.
Yep, a couple.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then did they have a hall monitor that would make you keep the door open and walk by and see if you're studying?
We had tutors, which were actual pastors, but that would be their first call or assignment was to be a tutor at the high school, and we had one on every level of the dorm, and why would we give them a hard time? We did some bad things when we were younger.
How old were the tutors?
The tutors would have been about 26, 27.
Okay. Getting ready to become ministers or whatever?
Yeah, they had just graduated from the seminary, so yeah, right around that 26.
Well, hopefully we'll take a brief break and come back, and maybe you'll tell us one of your stories that you and labor forget while you were in the dorm.
You bet.
Your home, auto, and life are important to you. That's why the Northfield Insurance Agency works hard to provide you with the right protection. Kevin and Stan offer the products you need with the premier service you deserve. They carry business, auto, farm, homeowners, commercial, and bonds. Northfield Insurance is your independent agent, and they're connected with many insurance companies providing you with the lowest possible rates. That's the Northfield Insurance Agency.
Do you have an old junker car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300. Get the most cash for your old junker vehicle and have it taken away for free. Huber's Auto Parts in Faribault, 507-332-2300.
Number two, that first song that you had that I couldn't play was number one in all of 1995. This is number two.
Oh, yeah, TLC.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think it's Waterfalls or something. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
100%. Should I turn this one down?
No, this one's not bad.
All right, let's take it. 3.5 minutes before 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair on KYMN Radio out of Northfield, Minnesota, 95.1 FM. We are the one. And my guest this morning is Hans Naumann, and we're chit-chatting about his going to a private Lutheran school in Prairie du Chien, Wisconsin, about an hour south of La Crosse. And I went to a private boarding school myself and didn't get 4 years in. I only got in two. Okay. And I went year-round, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I got some tales that I could tell you. What's your favorite tale? And, you know, remember, all is forgiven.
Right.
And nobody remembers this stuff, and there's no there are no consequences now.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess probably one of the most memorable experiences. Every year we would plan a night we called Anarchy Night.
Anarchy Night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Probably a bad term for it, but that's very fitting. So we would plan a night, you know, middle of the week, and we would chain the tutor's doors shut in the hallway, and we'd take all of our mattresses and stack them up in the middle of the hallway so we'd have kind of a wall. And just all sorts of crazy crud would go on then.
Did they know this was going to happen?
No. It was
something different every year.
Yeah, well, they knew what was going to occur once it started, but they didn't know when it was going to happen.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And actually that particular night, I was actually out because we'd have like our study hall at the dorms that night, but you could get out of it. We called them like a permission. So I was actually out with some friends, and we found out they had started stacking up these mattresses. And of course, we couldn't get in because all the doors are chained shut, so we had to crawl up the garbage chute. So we made it in, and then...
Were you late?
Oh, yeah, we were late. But
were you sober?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, but, yeah, we crawled up the garbage chute and made it into the party, and, oh, boy, it just... You know, it can't end well, right?
Yeah. You could tell who wet the bed, though.
Yeah, right.
When you were stacking those mattresses.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they have any ranking at all? Everybody's the same, or do you have, like, plebes and upperclassmen? And
well, you have the lower classmen, yeah. Upperclassmen, but
they have initiation?
We did. Actually,
well, we're going to save that for the other side of 10 o'clock, all right?
Sounds good.
And we'll talk about your initiation at Prairie du Chien Lutheran Boarding School.
Yeah.
And that's fun. One of the things that we had to do when a senior walked by in the dorm, if they were an officer, you had to brace for them. You know, have any idea what that is?
No, I don't.
Well, I'll tell you on the other side.
All right.
All right. Couple of stories coming up after 10 o'clock on KYMN, Northfield, Minnesota. 1080 on your AM dial for almost 50 years now. And, of course, 95.1 FM. We are the one from Northfield to Minnesota.
Aircraft tragedies, school safety. I'm John Trout. New details in that helicopter crash into New York City's East River. Correspondent Dave Briggs.
The pilot, Richard Vance, telling investigators a passenger's bag may have inadvertently hit the emergency fuel shutoff, causing the crash.
All five passengers were killed when that aircraft went into the water last night. The pilot freed himself and was rescued by a passing tugboat. A Bangladeshi airliner crashed today in cloudy weather as it came into land at the Kathmandu airport in Nepal. Officials say at least 50 people were killed. On the issue of raising age limits on gun purchases, President Trump has tweeted this morning that he'll wait and see what state courts decide. The new Federal School Safety Commission, led by Education Secretary Betsy DeVos, is part of the White House response to the Parkland, Florida school shootings.
The administration proposes federal funding for firearms training for teachers, as well as improved background checks and expanding mental health programs. The Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence calls the proposals drips of water in response to a five-alarm fire. Jerry Bodlander, Washington.
The calendar shows a week and a day until spring 2018, but another round of snow is expected to begin tonight in the Northeast, with Boston forecast to receive 15 inches.
This would be the biggest snow of the year so far, topping the 13 inches that Boston had in early January.
There's Chad Myers. This new storm, the third major snowmaker inside 2 weeks in that region. A border agent is facing charges for claiming he was a U.S. citizen. Marco Antonio de la Garza Jr. said he was born in Texas when, in fact, he was born in Mexico. He faces passport fraud as well as charges of making false statements on his federal law enforcement background. On Wall Street, Starbucks up 1.4% in early trading. I'm John Trout.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Wayne Eddy Affair on your radio station. This is 95.1, the One FM, and of course 1080 AM for almost 50 years out of Northfield, Minnesota. And we have a guest in studio by the name of Hans Naumann. Hans, when you submit your name to somebody in writing, how often do they say Hans compared to Hans?
Probably more often than not.
Okay.
Yeah, it gets pretty butchered up from time to time. And Naumann usually is Newman, is what they think.
So when Hans Newman went to school in Prairie du Chien, you had some initiation.
We did.
And what was your initiation?
So freshman, as soon as you'd come for first day of school, the freshman would get a beanie. And you had to wear this beanie everywhere you go. If you were seen outside without a beanie, then you could get in trouble. And you'd have to clean one of the seniors' dorm rooms or something goofy like that. But then initiation week was really during homecoming week. Any of the kids that didn't play football after school, they would have to go back behind the girls' dorm, and they started digging a large hole, just a big, large pit. During that homecoming week, that large pit would get filled with water, and it'd just become a mud hole. And if any of the seniors would catch you, then they'd wrestle you and throw you into the mud pit. But one of the catches was if you could catch a senior girl, then you could throw the girl in. It's just kind of goofy stuff. But then you were also assigned, again during homecoming week. Every freshman boy would be assigned a senior girl, and you were basically her servant for the day. So I had to go across the street to the donut shop at 6 in the morning and go get donuts for this gal and carry the books to all of her classes. And, you know, it's just typical hazing. There's some other stuff that would go on later in the evenings back at the dorms where we'd, you know, they'd harass us, but, you know, nothing too serious.
Not shave your head.
No, it wasn't quite that bad. I think one guy lost an eyebrow, but that's about Ooh. It. Yeah.
Beanies, did they have a little propeller on top?
No, but it basically looked the same. They were maroon and silver, so our school colors, but no propeller.
Did you how many kids did you graduate with?
My class was 54.
Okay.
So there was a little over 200 in the whole school.
So were they separate dorms for the girls and boys?
They were. Okay.
They were spread as far apart as possible.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. When I first came to Northfield, they had separate dorms for men and women, and now they share the same floor, same bathrooms.
Yeah.
A little bit. A little more mature on the college level.
Yeah. You'd like to believe so, anyway.
Yeah. Did you carry your beanie in your pocket so you wouldn't get thrown in the pit?
No. Well, I played football, so I was at football practice. So was all the other kids.
Now, had Tim set a precedent for you? Was he an outstanding athlete, student, class president, leader? Or it was your big brother. Did that help?
Yeah, it did. It did. I mean, it always does. You know, it's, you know, little Nauman, you know, is what I was when I showed up freshman year. But, you know, he played football and basketball and baseball. So
I would imagine as kids growing up, up to the eighth grade, that in Mobridge, South Dakota,
yes,
that you guys played backyard ball, threw football around, played baseball.
Yeah.
And so as a younger brother, 2 years younger, Tim would be more advanced than you, but then the competition was beneficial to you, I would assume.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, no, we were pretty competitive from day one.
So was there ever a time that you could win a fight with Tim?
I think, yeah, there probably was. Probably still is, but yeah, it was probably a toss-up.
Well, the reason I ask that is because it's I had an older sister. And finally, my mother gave me permission to respond to her meanness.
Yeah.
And it's a good feeling to know that you're going to have something stop because you can stop them. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Tim wouldn't tease you anymore because he knows that if he does, he's done for it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Even if he wins, he's still going to get hurt.
Yeah,
well, when I say hurt, I don't mean seriously hurt.
He knew, you know, when to draw the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or if he wanted to get under my skin, he knew what buttons to push. Yeah.
So with the class of 54, did you play baseball and football and wrestling or gym or?
I played football and basketball every year, and then it was back and forth between baseball or track in the spring.
Okay.
I wasn't really too committed to either one.
Which one did you like the best?
Probably track.
Oh, so, okay. Yeah. How about football? I'm sitting here looking at you, and I don't know why, but I think you're either were a running back or a linebacker.
Well, I was a linebacker on defense, and I was a receiver, kind of like a half scat back.
Really?
You know, flanker or slot receiver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of fun?
I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
What was your brother Tim's position, assuming he played?
He was a running back.
Okay.
Yep.
Was he the man?
Yep.
When
he had a couple of really good plays, I remember, that, you know, you never forget. But, yeah, he was pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did he get any scholarship offers?
I don't believe so.
Okay. No. So I asked this of every kid that played, or any professional, whatever. I always like to ask the question, what is that one play in football that you will never forget that you were involved in? And it's there, and you're probably separating them and coming up with one. What's that one play you'll never forget?
Well, I was returning a kick on a kickoff, and one of my good friends, he was more of a lineman. He missed a block, and this guy hit me so stinking hard. I think I flew back about 10 yards. I didn't drop the ball, but boy, it rung my bell pretty good. So,
did you get a concussion? Do you think?
I did. So, but this was back before, you know, there was all this.
I got one once when I got hit, and I woke up on the sidelines.
Yeah.
I mean, all of a sudden I'm standing on the sideline, and I go like, "Hey, I was just." In the game, now I'm on the sidelines. Well, he rang my bell, as they used to say.
Yeah.
And so that happened to you, too?
Oh, yeah. It's kind of an awkward feeling.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you don't really know exactly what's going on. Yeah.
I can see why they're fighting against those. Yeah. At 10 minutes after 10 o'clock, my guest on KYMN is Hans Nauman. Hans, well, I was going to tell you a little story from military school. Mm-hmm. And we had a brace for officers, and most officers were seniors, if not all of them. And bracing meant when they're approaching you,
you put your back up against the wall, and you put your shoulders back, and you put your arms down, and you put your thumb behind the seam of the cadet uniform that we wore, and then you put your head back and your chin down, and you were stiff as could be. That's called bracing.
Okay.
When an officer walked by, they had to do it, and the officer could do relax or, you know, just walk by, or as some of them like to do to smart aleck freshmen, ta-da, as they would come and they would pull on your tie, and you would start falling because you're braced. You're stiff as can be.
Sure.
And you had to trust them enough that you weren't going to hit the floor.
Yeah.
And, of course, the first time you don't. Right. What, do you think I'm stupid?
Yeah.
Are you going to let me fall? And then you learn, and they instill trust in your fellow cadet.
Yeah.
Which is a good lesson.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, boy, someday I'm going to do that. I didn't last long enough to get to that someday. 12 minutes after 10 o'clock on Kim Radio. So you graduate with, did you say, 54 kids?
Yes.
Okay. And that was in 1995.
Correct.
Now you got yourself a good Lutheran education.
Yeah.
You matured as you grew.
Yep.
And now it's time to think about college. Your mom's a teacher. Your dad's a pastor.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that they anticipate and expect you to go to a, I would assume, a Lutheran college.
Right.
And so there's so many to choose from here, including St. Olaf, Augsburg, Gustavus.
Yep. So our affiliated college would be Martin Luther College down in New Ulm. And I actually went there my freshman year. I made it one semester, and they sat me down and said, you know, maybe it's time you look for a different vocation in life. So I obliged them. And
decided. Was it Martin Luther before Martin Luther King?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, it would be...
How big of a school is that?
Martin Luther College now is probably...
I mean, when you were going.
Oh, when I was there, it was probably 700 or 800 students there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all so they had either a teacher track or a pastor track. And then if you're a teacher, then it was either a 4 or 5 year program. And once you graduated, you get assigned a teaching position.
Okay.
But then if you're a pastor track, then after you finish your 4 years at MLC, then you go to seminary out in Mequon, Wisconsin.
Did they have an athletic department? It was like a...
They did.
Okay. So it was a normal college.
Yeah.
Relatively small.
Yeah.
But after a year, they said, well, it doesn't appear that you're cut out for our program.
Yeah.
And perhaps you might want to think about doing something else.
Yeah.
And this was at the end of your freshman year?
This was after the first semester.
Okay.
So I didn't mature as quickly as my peers.
Okay. So you had to disappoint mom and dad. Was Tim going there?
No, he wasn't.
Okay.
He wasn't. He was out in Rapid City
going
to school.
So I'm sure that they drew mom and dad into the picture and said, I'm sorry, but unfortunately, we can't accept the behavior of this young man.
Yeah.
His study habits suck. And so now you're 18 years old. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, from there, I moved back to Aberdeen, South Dakota, and I worked with one of my classmates' fathers building fence. So I was building chain link fences or barbed wire fences. And that didn't take me long to realize this is not a good way to make a living. So,
yeah, it paid well, didn't it?
Oh, well,
blue collar.
Back in 1996,
It
worked all right.
Yeah. All right. Did you cut yourself up? I mean, did you have to wear leather gloves?
Oh, man, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah, it was terrible. Your jeans were always shredded and gloves. You know, you'd bring 3 or 4 pairs of gloves every day.
How did you get the poles in the ground that you attached the chain link fences to or barbed wire?
An old, like, 1957 Massey Ferguson.
You pounded them in?
Well, we had a pounder on the front and a big auger on the back. So, it's tough digging out there, though.
It was sunny and hot.
Oh, yeah.
And
or cold and cloudy, yeah.
Yeah.
But oh, you got to see a lot of livestock, didn't you?
I did. I did.
So what did you, after doing that for summer or for your, mm-hmm. which would have been your second and third and so, fourth quarter, what did you do?
Well, so I did that for about 9 months, and then I just said enough of this, and I enlisted in the Army.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, Army.
Yeah, I enlisted in the Army Reserves in 96.
Now, you had your choice of the Air Force, Coast Guard, Navy,
yeah,
Marines, mm-hmm. and you chose Army.
Yeah, I was the nicest recruiter.
Oh,
he told the best lies.
Okay. Okay. And so they promised you the world.
Yeah.
Did you get money right up front for having signed the paper?
No. Oh. No, I did get an enlistment bonus, but it's spread out over your first 6 years.
Oh, so the first 6 years?
Yeah, so, every your first, third, and fifth year, you'd get an installment.
What would the bonus be, like 10 grand or something?
I think it was 5 at the time.
Did a lot of kids going in think, hey, I'm going to sign up and get $5,000 right here in my hand?
Yeah, oh yeah, that's the way you think it, but then you'd read the fine print. Realize that your contract's for 6 years, so they're gonna.
And if you muster out or get kicked out,
then you pay it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yep. Okay, yep. So you joined the Guard in where? What town?
Aberdeen, South
Aberdeen.
Dakota.
Yeah. Okay, so you go off for 6 months for training.
Yeah, it was about that.
It's called boot camp, right?
Yep. Basic training was 2 months, and then.
Now, they say for a kid like you, who is a miscreant,
mm-hmm.
I understand all this stuff,
yeah.
that is good for you, that it toughens you up, and you mature, you challenge the authority, you learn that you are not going to, but you can stick around, but you're not going to challenge us, just get the job done. And then when you're done, you go, wow, I feel good about myself. That was great.
Yeah.
How about you? Tell me about it.
That was by far the best decision I've made, and I'll never regret it. So it's I was a long-haired punk, and you know, you show up there the first day, and they sit you right down in that barber's chair, and next thing you know, you've got no hair left, and it's a big shock. But they teach you a lot of discipline, and they break you down. They break you down for the first couple of weeks, and then, ironically enough, when you start going to the firing range and handling weapons and live ammunition, you know, they kind of back off a little bit. That's when they start building you back up.
I've never heard that one before.
Yeah.
Did you, having been a football player, mm-hmm. Were you in shape? And, you know, there was a challenge, but it wasn't like maybe some that dropped out?
Yeah, no, physically it wasn't too much of an issue. It's a different type of physicality, though. You know, for 8 weeks straight, you do push-ups and flutter kicks and sit-ups like nobody's business all day, every day. And, you know, just for the dumbest things, they would drop the entire company and everybody's doing push-ups because somebody grabbed a dessert at chow or something. It's just one of those things you learn to work as a team, and you know, you succeed and fail as a team. So it's a good atmosphere, and you really mature fast.
How did you do on the range?
Pretty well.
Okay, pretty so well. You got to wear a little medal.
Yeah.
With yep. a rifle on it.
Well, yeah, it's a marksmanship badge.
Yeah. Well, that's the first reward you get, isn't it?
It is, and that's kind of a proud day for all the recruits, because the company commander would come by and you know, they'd have the little badges with the little stickers on the little posts, steel posts, and they would pound that into your chest, and it'd go all through your uniform and stick in your chest. And
did you bleed?
Absolutely, yeah.
But you stood at attention
and didn't look one way or the other. Yep, didn't bother you one bit.
A moment of pride.
Yeah.
I'm tough.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yep.
So did you then muster out and did you then survive that camp, complete it, and now you're going to be a weekend warrior?
Yeah. So the basic training was it was 8 weeks, and then right after that, I went to advanced individual training, and that was 3 months, I believe it was,
mm-hmm.
and that's a little more specialized into what your occupation is going to be, your military occupation. So that's where you learn your craft.
And what did you learn?
Ordnance. So bullets.
That's bullets and bombs?
Yeah. Yep. So it's it was more on the supply side, as you know, as Army reservists, we're more logistics focused. So we're ammunition supply.
That wasn't hard, was it?
Not too difficult. It's physical, but a lot of lifting and carrying. Yeah, but it wasn't bad. I met some of my closest friends, lifelong friends.
Where was this taking place, the ordnance job?
My training was down in Redstone Arsenal, Alabama.
Okay.
Yep. But then my reserve unit was back in Aberdeen.
Was there a cultural shock when you were in Alabama and got to go uptown, downtown?
Yeah, we got to go downtown on the weekends. And actually, Alabama, I really enjoyed it down there. Very friendly people.
It's just peachy.
Yeah.
Or is that Georgia?
Well, that's Georgia. Oh, but it's, okay. Yeah.
can't get them all
good
right.
Good people down there in the South.
Good.
So, yeah.
22 minutes after 10 o'clock on the Wayne Eddy Affair. My guest this morning is Hans Naumann, and he is a project manager for Lifetime Fitness. Right now, he is on a project out in Bellevue, Washington, and I was lucky enough to get a day off for him. Well, not a day off, but a morning off to come on in and chit-chat with us. So you then were able to leave the National Guard except for a weekend, a month, the rest of your 6 years, I assume.
Right. Well, I'm still in, actually, so I'm going on 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that going to be beneficial on a pension plan?
When I'm 60 years old, yeah.
And that seems a little old, doesn't it?
Sure.
Well, I mean, when you signed up, it did.
Yeah, absolutely.
60. Holy cow, why would I want to save money till I'm 60?
Right.
And now you're double dipping. By that I mean you're getting two compensations.
Yep. Yeah.
From two different jobs, which is kind of nice, especially when you turn 60.
Right.
And I imagine you get insurance through the National Guard?
We'll have TRICARE for Life is what it's called. So when you turn 60, it's government health insurance. And it's a really good plan.
Through the veterans, then? Would you go to the...
Well, I can go to the VA now.
You can?
Yeah.
Okay.
But with the TRICARE, you can use any of the providers in the TRICARE network, which is...
It's kind of
nice. It's not hard to find anybody.
That includes your family?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So what was your first job out of the National Guard? Now you've learned discipline, you got short hair, you know how to load a cannon. what are you going to do?
Well, apparently you mix drinks at a bar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I then went to school down in Mankato after I finished my training. Well, actually, after I finished my first deployment, then...
Where were you deployed?
We went to Hungary and Bosnia for a year.
Bosnia. That was a hot spot for a while.
It was. We were there in 97. It was pretty calm down then. We were more of a security presence.
Did you go over on a plane or a ship?
A plane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Commercial flight?
It was a government cargo plane.
You sit down on the floor and you're back up against the wall.
Well, this was a C-5, so it was. I mean, there were a couple tanks in the belly of the plane.
Yeah,
and we sit up top, and actually face backwards, and it was dark. Man, there were no lights in there. It's just.
How long did the flight take?
I think back then it was about 12 hours.
Wow.
So, but our plane broke down halfway over.
Not the ocean.
Halfway over the ocean, they told us that the navigation system, something to do with the navigation, went out. So we ended up staying in Frankfurt, Germany for 18 hours while the plane got fixed. Yeah. So.
Wow. And did any excitement happen while you were over in Hungary and Bosnia?
No. No, it was pretty quiet then. Pretty
were you stable. On a base? Or?
Yeah, we were stationed up in Hungary. And we would, every so often, we'd run a mission down into Croatia or Bosnia.
How far was that from your Hungary base?
Croatia was probably an hour's drive.
Okay.
But in a military vehicle, it's about a 3-hour drive.
Yeah.
So, and then I think we convoyed for 12 hours down into the middle of Bosnia.
Were you worried?
No.
After what was going on? Okay.
No.
Have you ever heard the name Rudy Perpich?
I don't recall, no.
He was a former governor of Minnesota on two different occasions. But one of the jobs he had in between being governor is that he was going over to Europe to maybe help amend differences in Croatia. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I ever heard the word Croatia.
Yeah.
And I thought, why? Well, his bloodline goes back to that part of the world. Okay. Anyway, that's, I thought I'd tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's your show. I want to hear more about you. So after you get done being deployed, mm-hmm. You come back stateside, and where do you land?
I landed in Mankato.
Okay.
Yep, went to school there for 2 years. And
yep. Got a degree?
No, I didn't. I never did finish.
Okay. So you got 2 years in, yep. And you could get more if you wanted to. Maybe this company will let you.
Well, actually, the Army, so still being in the Army, college is basically free, you know, online school. They pay for your tuition, and online you don't purchase books anymore. Yeah. So
it's a hell of a deal.
Yeah, so actually I took a few classes last semester, and in the spring with the new job I decided to hold off for a couple months. So
what were you thinking when you were, did you physically attend the campus classes?
In Mankato?
The 2 years.
I did.
Okay, now Mankato is known for, you know, party animals.
Yeah.
And like many schools. So did you enjoy that student life after having had the home life and then the Lutheran school life and then the National Guard life? And now you're on campus with kids that are probably a year or two or three younger than you.
Right.
And you're in their classrooms. Was your maturity level there, or did you say, hey man, this is a fun campus, let's get crazy?
Well, I worked most of my college career down there.
What were you doing?
I was a cook and a bartender at one of the local sports bars.
Which one?
Tav on the Ave.
No, I'm not familiar with that one. Did you work there when Vikings were around?
Yeah, they would come into our sports bar quite frequently, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were good guys to sit and BS with. And
how about tips?
Tips, that was kind of hit. Some guys were real good, and other guys not so good.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But. Okay. So the job as a bartender, or some mm-hmm. people say a mixologist.
Yeah.
Nowadays, there are even competition for coming up with drinks or for making drinks and for putting on a show behind the bar. Mm-hmm. What do you know about all that?
I don't put on a show at all, or I didn't, but it's mostly just pouring beer.
Yeah.
You know, that's really all it is. But it was.
You didn't have to mix drinks?
No, we'd mix drinks, but, you know, I don't know, for Mankato, for some reason, it always seems like it was more beer drinkers than anything.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So if somebody ordered a, what's the one that has a
Long Island iced tea.
Long Island iced tea.
Yeah.
You know how to make one of those?
Sure.
How do you
sure.
make them?
Well, it's if I remember correctly, I believe it's vodka, gin, and tequila, maybe, and rum. It's a lot of booze, and then you throw in some triple sec, sweet and sour, and then we would blend it, actually, and then throw a splash of Coke in it. Away you go.
And did you limit people to how many they could have?
I think they kind of limited themselves.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Well,
they would. I've heard that they're really, well, you just said a lot of, they're potent.
Yeah.
And if you are a young 21-year-old kid and you get this the first time, you can maybe almost chug-a-lug it.
Yeah.
You know, just you drink it fast and, hey, I'll have another one of those. And now they're, by the end of that, they're done. Did you enjoy bartending?
I did. I really did. So you could just sit and talk with the patrons and strike up a conversation with just about anybody about anything. You know, there's
when it was really busy and people were standing in line mm-hmm. in crowds. how, what would a person do to get the attention of the bartender who do, they avoid eye contact except for the person they're serving because everybody wants to be right now.
Yeah.
What did you look for in a person that you would bypass the other six and say to the guy over there, what was your order?
Yeah, whoever has money in hand is what it's, if you're ready to pay, I'm ready to serve you.
So, okay.
But that's usually how it went. Okay. Unless we had a lot of locals there, a lot of people that were pretty familiar with, so we tend to take care of them a little more.
I found the trick would be to get there early. This is at like a convention. They have those roll bars in hotels. You get there early, you go up, you talk to the bartender or two bartenders, you tip them, good, and then you wink and say, I'll see you later.
Yeah.
And if you came back later, they'd bypass everybody. And,
That works, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to try that.
Yeah, know that. 1032 on 1080. So you go to Mankato, you do 2 years, you get a job bartending and something else, and Tim is off into college, probably graduating.
Yep.
And you're kind of like in a flux. You know, what do I do? Where do I go? What should I do? Good-looking young man, probably dated a lot of women. So what's going on in your social life and work life after Mankato and bartending?
Well, that's right about when I started my company.
Let's see if I can do it.
Yeah.
Deutsche
Contracting, yep.
Yeah, Deutsche Contracting.
Yeah. Yeah, so I started that up in the South Metro and then eventually settled in the Northfield area. So just didn't really know a whole lot about construction, but I knew I enjoyed it. So I just kind of learned as I went.
How'd you get a license?
I went up and took the test, and somehow I passed. You know, like I said, accidents happen. So I don't know.
And you were in Mankato, and you thought to yourself, I'm going to start a construction company?
Yeah, there were some other gaps in time there that are pretty boring.
Okay.
But after a little bit of just hopping around in jobs and just
selling windows and things like that.
Yeah, actually I did sell vacuums for about 3 months. Good grief, was that humbling.
I sold pots and pans.
Yeah.
And World Book Encyclopedia.
Oh, sure.
Going door to door. Hi.
Yeah.
And
that'd probably be a tough sell today.
Yeah. Thank you for reminding me of that. Because, it was hard work and, like you said, humiliating.
Yeah.
And you had to be able to take rejection.
Yeah.
So at 1033 on 1080 Radio, a reminder, people today are trying to make their marriages work over longer lives than ever before. But staying married isn't easy. The Rough Patch, Marriage and the Art of Living Together, explores the pushes and the pulls of marriage. With over 30 years of experience in mental health issues, author Daphne DeMarnef talks with Terry Knight about some tough subjects, including money issues, addictions, sex lives, children, and aging. She shares numerous real-life stories. That's on today's 15 with the author at 11 o'clock this morning with Terry Knight, which is just 26 minutes away. Right now, you're listening to The Wayne Eddy Affair, either on 1080 AM or 95.1 FM, The One. Hans Newman is my guest on Kim, and we'll be back with Newman. I said Newman.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but I have a cousin named Newman.
Sure.
Nauman. Nauman is his name. Sorry about that.
Residential or commercial, Cannon Valley Water in Dundas is the place to call for water. Whether it's a complete water conditioning system or just salt delivery and filters, Cannon Valley Water can take care of it. And Cannon Valley Water can also deliver Candy Yohai premium water right to your house or business at great rates, too. Chippewa Springs is as pure today as it was when we first tested it over a century ago, and is proudly distributed by Cannon Valley Water. Pickups are now located at 609 Stafford Lane in Dundas, just behind Aldi. Call Cannon Valley for your water today.
If you're struggling with weight and frustrated with dieting each and every year, Mark Patrick Hypnosis can help. Join the over 500,000 people who have attended Mark Patrick Hypnosis programs with weight loss results. Mark Patrick Hypnosis will be in Northfield on Tuesday, March 13th. Make that New Year's resolution a reality.
You know, and my goal is to lose 30, so I lost, you know, actually more than I ever thought I would.
I can exercise. I am happy with myself. I'm happy with others. But it just changed my life totally around. It was just my last ray of hope.
As of today, I have already lost 48 pounds.
I've lost about 32 pounds.
For only $49.99, lose all the weight you want, 100% guaranteed. Tuesday, March 13th at the Archer House River Inn at 212 Division Street in Northfield. Seminar time is 5:30 to 7:30. Registration begins at 5 p.m. Attend this program and find out how the power of hypnosis can help you achieve your weight loss goals. There's limited seating, so get there early. Learn more at markpatrickseminars.com.
You know what?
It's somewhat familiar, but...
Should I turn it down?
I wouldn't know it well enough.
Number three, TLC, and it's called Creep.
Oh.
Remember that one?
I don't.
Well, that's okay. How about, do you remember this particular one?
Oh, this is Seal.
Yes.
Something about a rose.
Yeah.
Kissed by a Rose?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. 3 out of 4, you got both the singers, performers, and the name of the tune. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's above average.
Okay.
Have you ever been told you were above average before?
Never.
I'm sure you have. And you said, yeah, but I don't want to do it right now.
Yeah.
So let's talk about different things before. What were you thinking about when you said, I think I'll start a construction company? What, other than building fences, what experience did you have?
Well, I had worked, I worked for Danny Hyatt with ServiceMaster for a couple of years.
Danny's a good friend of mine.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good person.
I wish
he's
him
a
well.
Good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I worked for him for about 2 years and
For ServiceMaster,
okay. Yeah. So I'd get into a lot of the fire and water restoration. We always struggled to find builders back then or carpenters to rebuild homes that were damaged. And we kind of came to a mutual agreement one day that I thought I should be paid more and he thought that I shouldn't. So
I've been there. Both sides.
Yeah, but so we both agreed that it would benefit both people if I were to go and procure my contractor's license and then I could work for ServiceMaster rebuilding homes, so insurance losses, insurance claims.
Did you ever work on my basement?
I did not.
Okay. We had a flood.
Okay.
I, of course, called Danny, mm-hmm. and they came in, did a wonderful job, very conscientious, and appreciated their work and their service. Matter of fact, I just had them do a room for carpeting
about
3-4 months ago.
Okay.
And I get their damn emails all the time. How do I stop that?
I don't know.
And I watched Danny's family grow up, knew Beth when she was a little kid, and interviewed her, sitting in the same seat you're in right now, when she was president of the Northfield Chamber of Commerce, and a hell of a young lady.
Yeah.
And, of course, ServiceMaster first sponsored, and Danny Hyatt chaired the Soapbox Derby for the defeat of Jesse James days.
Yep.
And if it wasn't for Danny, that never would have happened.
Yeah.
So I thank him. Oh, I just had his name in my, is it Tweet?
Twink.
Twink.
Yeah.
Did you know Twink?
I did.
I liked him.
Yeah, he was a good guy.
Yeah.
He was a good guy.
Were you there when he just dropped dead from a heart attack?
I wasn't, but okay. I heard about it right away, so it's, yeah, that's too bad.
He, I'll try to make a long story short. I have a cover on my 1975 Oldsmobile convertible.
Mm-hmm.
Top is down. I've got a a cover.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter left 2 cats at our place in the winter, and I kept them in the separate garage.
Yeah.
In the spring, when I went to take out the convertible, there was an indentation in the cover. In other words, it was something was holding it down.
Yeah.
I went over and they had used that for a sandbox.
Oh.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I couldn't get the smell out of that car. And I brought it in, and Danny and Twink worked on it and stripped it all the way down. There was no interior.
Yeah.
And then put it all back together again, and they got the order away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm real happy that they were able to do that.
Yeah, those darn but kittens.
Kittens, yeah. I like kittens, but I don't like their big... I do love cats. I had one for 19 years.
Okay.
Lost them last year. So you're bouncing around, and then you and Danny decide, hey, I got an idea. Why don't you get out of here? And you're saying, you know what? I got an idea. I think it's time for me to move on.
Yeah.
And so you move on. You start this Deutschland or whatever, Deutschness contractor.
Yeah.
And get your license, and you work in the South Metro. What does that mean? South Metro.
So I did most of my work in Eagan, Apple Valley, Lakeville area, Rosemount, Farmington. Okay. So that's where I did a majority of my work, and I'd travel a little further out if it was a good looking project.
Were you building homes, offices, buildings, garages?
No, it was. I started specialized in insurance restoration. So we worked hand in hand with ServiceMaster. And it was a good relationship. And then I started branching out a little bit and do finished basements or building decks or additions, mainly residential. And I'd sprinkle in a little commercial work once in a while. I built a daycare up in Apple Valley. I wasn't smart enough to say no to anything. So I kind of dabbled in a little bit of everything.
And what would be the one that was most profitable, and what would be the one that be what you charge couldn't cover what it cost you to do?
Well, insurance restoration is tough to get competitive. It's very competitive, so it's tough to set your own profit margins. The insurance companies they look at you as a contractor, and they'll say, well, we don't have a problem with you making money, but we want to control how much money you make. So in that respect, it was tough to make a real good living. But it was a comfortable gig, and I really enjoyed it.
And so you were your own boss?
Absolutely.
Did you have a crew?
I did for a while. I had four or five employees
Wow.
the first couple of years. Yeah, and then I went on my second deployment. I went to Iraq in 2005.
Well, you never mentioned that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was there for 17 months, I think.
Well, I didn't know that. It's already 17 minutes before 11 o'clock.
Yeah, that's boring stuff, though.
Not for me and most of my listeners. We admire and respect individuals that serve our country.
Yeah.
I'm from the Vietnam era, and I was rejected by your army,
mm-hmm.
thank God.
Yeah.
And I have, of course, friends and former roommates that have been ruined by war and wounded by war and psychologically impaired by war. And so we here on the Wayne Eddy Affair, I say we,
yeah.
me,
yeah.
but we are my initials. So we're okay. So I like to show my appreciation and admiration, and I'm always interested in what it was like. And I've done World War II veterans from the battlefield to Northfield, Korea, Vietnam, and then the Middle East.
Yeah.
Which country do you want to pick?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so you were stationed where?
I was in Camp Anaconda, which was in Balad, Iraq. So it was about an hour northwest of Baghdad.
In what year?
2005 and 2006.
So we're talking, 12 years ago.
Yeah, it was quite a while ago.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like,
that's
amazing.
So you had been trained in the arsenal department, and so is that what the assignment you got when you were in?
Yes. Yeah, we would supply basically the majority of Iraq to the warfighters. We would supply their munitions.
I mean, we're talking everything from knives and bullets to tanks.
Well, we didn't supply the tanks. They would come and request the ammunition, and we would supply the tank rounds. Yeah. So we'd meet a lot of the warfighters, and boy, those guys, you know, we had it good. We had it good compared to those guys out knocking heads.
You were in the encampment or the camp.
Yes.
People visualize some people, you know, in little pup tents and all that. It was basically a city where you were at?
Yeah. There was probably about 20,000 troops and civilian contractors on that base when we were there. So it was an old Iraqi Air Force base. So it already had some infrastructure to it, but you know, it's still.
You had mobile homes or trailers.
Yeah, we had CHUs, they call them, the containerized housing units.
Air conditioning. When it worked.
Yeah, when it worked, exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's still hot. If you were lucky, you could get it down to about 90 degrees during the summer.
Was that everyday suffering, or was it like me? I like heat, so maybe I would be able to work beside you and have it not bother me that much.
Well, you kind of get used to it. During the winter, it actually snowed when we were there on Christmas Day. It snowed, but that was once out of a year. But otherwise, spring and fall were really nice. It was like summer here, only without the humidity.
Did you ever experience any incoming?
Daily, yeah. Yeah, every day we did. So that was kind of they called it Martyritaville. Because
that's funny.
Yeah.
It's not funny, but...
Right. Yeah, no, we'd get mortars and rockets on a daily occurrence.
If you're in the compound that has all of this ammo, I would assume that would be a desirable target for the insurgents.
It was. But they weren't really trained, I guess. Well, I wouldn't say they weren't trained, but it was just they'd just throw something up and...
Hope.
You know, whatever it hit, then... You know, that was a success for them, I guess.
Do you think they're using American made weapons or sold through America?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. But
what did you do on R&R?
Well, I came back here, and hung out with friends and family for 2 weeks. So my first R&R back when I was in Bosnia and Hungary, I spent 2 weeks traveling Europe. So that was a lot of fun. You know, I was 20 years old and traveling Europe.
So what was the most impressive big city in Europe that you'll say, wow, I'll never forget that place?
You know, I really enjoyed Berlin. Berlin was a nice town. There's obviously a lot of history there, and you can kind of go and see some of the old sites.
Like the wall?
Yep. Yeah, Checkpoint Charlie, you can go there. And
is there a dramatic difference from one side of the wall to the other in regards to buildings?
You don't see it so much in Berlin, the proper part.
Mm-hmm.
But I had made the trip from Frankfurt, Germany, or right around there, out to Leipzig, which is old East Germany. And there, the structures there, the architecture, it's a world of difference. You know, it's all industrialized and condensed, high density apartments, and you know, you don't see the single family homes out there. It's night and day, and you can still see it.
Okay, when you were on base during the Super Bowl, were you one of those people I would see when they said, this is such and such and such and such, and they're watching the Super Bowl game?
No, I was never there. Never.
You didn't go?
I was never on that.
No, but did you?
I was there, yeah.
Watching the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
In a big tent or whatever? Big.
Yep. Yeah, we had a hard stand building in Iraq.
Okay.
Where people would go, and it would get so packed that it just...
What did you use for latrines?
Porta-johns.
Okay.
There were porta-johns everywhere, and then there were a couple trailers for, like, showers.
Okay.
They'd have shower trailers.
So did the soldiers have duty to empty those, or
no,
did a private contractor?
That was local contractors, so we would hire local Iraqis, you know, the friendlies.
The friendlies. Do you know they're friendly?
Well, you'd like to believe they are. They get, you know, they would go off base every day, and then they'd come back in, and they'd go through the same security screening day in and day out.
Any of those grunts that were out and about in their Jeep or their vehicles that run across the IEDs or in the road, did any of them come back? Did you buddy up with those guys and say, boy, I'm glad I'm in this part of my job?
Yeah, we would. The engineers, usually, they would come through our area and get, you know, resupplied quite frequently, and you'd see their vehicles, boy, they're pretty peppered up, and, you know, they'd taken a little bit of lead off the side here and there. We're definitely appreciative for those guys. So, I mean, they have the tough job.
When you were there, did you have any political feeling, religious feeling of right and wrong?
No, I didn't, actually. I guess my understanding of the whole thing or the way I approach it is, you know, I agreed to work with the government, you know, to be a soldier. And if I didn't agree with what we were doing, that's one thing, but I still support it because that's what I had sworn to do.
Were you issued an M16 and a sidearm?
Just an M16.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't you guys carry a sidearm?
I
mean, you could if you wanted to, couldn't you? If you had a 45 or 30.
No, you're basically told this is what you're going to carry. And
okay.
Yeah, the warfighters, you know, the infantry, those guys usually have a couple. They'll have a sidearm.
More than one.
Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah. So. Do you think you could have done that?
I think I could have, yeah.
Okay, now I don't think I could have. I'd be a nervous wreck.
Yeah.
You know.
I think after a certain point in time, you just kind of accept it, and that's, you know, that's the lifestyle you chose, and you know, our training, it all goes back to training, and, you know, we train the best force in the world, and it's just second nature.
Did you ever wish that you would have been able to be in that part where you're out facing the enemy and, of course, counterfire?
No.
No, you're glad that you were where you were.
Yeah.
All right.
If they would have asked me to, I wouldn't have hesitated, but they didn't need me to, so I'm, you know, thankful for that.
You don't have PTSD, is that what it's called?
Yeah, PTSD, no. Yeah.
Okay. No. Do you think there are anybody that's in the service that, you know, pretend they have that just so they can get a check and not work?
You know, I guess I wouldn't speculate on that. We tend to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay.
And, you know, just about anybody in the military these days has experienced one thing or another.
Yeah.
And you can't quantify it.
Yeah.
So
I have a friend of over 50 years that was my roommate when we were working television together, and he ended up as a grunt in Nam.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back, and he was told by the folks up at Veterans that were taking care of him,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, see if he can get back in the broadcast field because he liked that. And so I took care of him for a week doing all facets of radio and would be ready to hire him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just couldn't handle that.
Yeah.
But he was a unionized butcher.
Oh.
Which makes a lot of money.
Right.
And so he's being treated for
the PTSD.
Yeah, but he's retired now, but he always did work. But he would have his problems that were pretty serious for a while.
Yeah, the toughest part for anybody that leaves home for, you know, an extended period of time is to reintegrate.
Yeah.
So it's a different way of life.
In the Vietnam jungles.
Yeah.
Terrible. Yeah. Well, it's all terrible. Yeah. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back and do a wrap here on the Wayne Eddy Affair. No, we're not going to sing. We're going to wrap up the show.
I love Grandpa's new home. There's so much to do.
That's right. Millstream Commons helps improve the lives of seniors through all kinds of fun activities. Personalized care from a dedicated and well-trained staff, amazing creative meals prepared fresh every day and served in a social setting, live-to-be-healthy fitness classes, private apartments with all the amenities of home, and a place to continue your relationships with family and loved ones. Millstream Commons, your vibrant life continues here.
When it's time for preventative maintenance on your new car or truck, you don't just take your car into anyone. At Wick Brothers Service in Northfield, you know you found a name you can trust. To start, we're a Napa Auto Care Center, so the technicians we employ are experts trained in every aspect of your vehicle's maintenance. This gives you the peace of mind in knowing that everything we do is accepted under the terms of your manufacturer's warranty. Add to that the fact that we use quality Napa parts that meet or exceed original equipment and specifications. And you have the one place where you can entrust all of your vehicles. Come see Wick Brothers Service in downtown Northfield today.
It's just one of them days when I want to be all alone. It's just one of them days when I got to be all alone.
Name that tune.
One of them is this days.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like one of them days.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You got it. You know who it is? Actually, the song is called Don't Take It Personal, Just One of Them Days by Monica.
I never would have guessed that.
I would have no idea who Monica is.
I don't.
But that was the number 9 song, and you graduated from high school.
Yeah.
We're going to kind of have to wrap this up, but here's the deal. You're in Northfield,
yep.
And you're from, let's say Wisconsin, South Dakota,
yeah,
and parts of Minnesota. So you ended up here in Northfield, and you say you live here.
Yes.
Do you have a family?
I do. I have 3 children.
Really? Okay.
Yep. Jordan is my oldest. She's a 7th grader at the middle school.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's smart as a whip. She must get that from her mom.
Okay. But what's her mom's name?
Beth.
Beth. Beth Nalman?
Yep.
The one that was
yes.
President of the Chamber of Commerce?
Yep.
Oh, I know her.
Yep.
Well, I think we already said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And okay, Jordan.
Yep, that's Jordan, and then Justice is 11.
Oh, Justice.
Yep.
How does he like that name?
I think he likes it. It's German, Justus.
Okay.
So.
Do they call him, nickname him Just?
I call him Bud.
Bud.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people call their dogs Buck.
Yeah.
All right, so we got Jordan, Justin, and another J, I assume?
Nope, Evelyn.
Evelyn.
Evelyn is the youngest.
Evelyn.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was my grandmother's name.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's an old name.
Yeah, Evelyn.
I had an Aunt Evelyn.
Oh, did? Okay.
And when I was growing up, you called your aunts Aunt.
Right.
You never said Evelyn. It's
right.
Aunt Evelyn.
Yep.
Aunt Lorraine, Aunt Adair, Uncle Lavelle. Isn't that a pretty name? Anyhow, so Jordan's a 7th grader.
Yep.
And Justin is a...
Justice is a 5th grader.
Okay.
Yep. And Evelyn is still in preschool. She's 5.
So. Oh, just a kid.
Yeah.
So is Jordan driving a car yet?
No.
Does he want to?
Thank goodness. No, she's not.
No?
No, she's a couple of years away from that, yes.
Well, I know that, but...
She drives a tractor once in a while out at the house. But.
So where's the house?
I live just east of town, about 5 miles.
East of town?
Yep.
That'd be the Denison area?
Yeah, closer to Denison.
All right.
So
she buses into they bus into school every morning, I assume.
Well, we just always kind of got into the groove of we put them in a different school than the district they're assigned to. So
Bethlehem Academy.
No, Saint Dominic's.
No,
they go to Bridgewater, but they're in the Sibley district. So
oh,
so we always
oh,
enrolled.
Yeah,
yeah. So
okay.
So Jordan can take the bus, but the other two we drop them off.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah. Well, that's a job in itself.
It
every
is.
Day.
It is.
So what do you do the rest of the day today, for example?
The first thing you said this morning is got to talk with the accountant because it's that time of the year.
Yeah.
And then I'll just hop on the computer and work away.
Is a computer natural to you?
It's getting there.
Yeah.
So I can type, I can communicate with it, but if it has anything to do with downloading software or fixing anything, I don't have a prayer.
Well, I'm the same as you, except I don't type. I hit that little microphone.